Fierce and fearless. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were plenty.
All right, a lot of eyes on Brett Kavanaugh, still even though it's, I've been writing the headlines for a bit. But the bigger impact by this president could be his appointment of judges to other federal benches, most notably the federal appeals courts around this country. And this president has appointed a bevy of federal appeals courts around this country and will have an impact for years to come. And my next guest, Jeremy Dice, says that's potentially more important. Deputy General Counsel for the First Liberty and host of First Liberty Briefing. Jeremy, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
We have seen federal appeals courts. We've seen just federal district judges bring this entire country to a stop on certain matters, which I don't think is the way it's designed. But we've seen activist judges stop the president by issuing rulings in places like Hawaii and California and elsewhere. So how important are these federal benches other than the Supreme Court?
Well, they're extremely important. If you picture it this way, let's start at the top of the Supreme Court of the United States, where everybody seems to focus our attention, and I think rightly so. The Supreme Court is an extremely important body of one of the three branches of our government. But the Supreme Court receives about 7,000 or 8,000 appeals every year, but they only hear about 80 of them. In fact, this last term, I think they heard 63 appeals last year. That's a very small number. If you step down then to the Circuit Courts of Appeal, you see that the Circuit Courts of Appeal are deciding between 40 and 60,000 appeals every single year.
Well, and deciding, however, and you're saying deciding, some of them they're just rejecting them and sending them back and letting the ruling stand without really deciding anything. Is that fair?
Well, yeah, sometimes, yeah. I mean, but the docket load is immense, right? So between 40 and 60,000 cases a year every year. Below that, you have the district courts. And they're hearing over 500,000 cases are filed in district court every single year. So the point of that little exercise is to remind us that most of our civil rights are being defined or being heard or being decided at the district court level. So as important as the Supreme Court is, and it is very important, and we need to have our focus on those justices that are being appointed and nominated for those positions, but so are those circuit court levels and the district court level judges. Those are vital positions because you have a better chance of having your rights as an American citizen determined by a district court judge, much more so than a justice of the Supreme Court.
Yeah, you know, as you look at the number of appointments, though, to these federal benches, even though the Democrats have dragged their feet and taken their time, everybody knows about Neil Gorsuch. Everybody knows about Brett Kavanaugh and his pending process. I expect he'll be on the bench of the Supreme Court by mid to late September. Maybe I'm right or wrong, but I think that sometime in the next 40 or 60 days, he'll be where he's supposed to be. But you look at the number of justices put forth by this president, and it's 24 so far to the Circuit Courts of Appeals, and that's an impressive number, isn't it?
It is an impressive number, and there's a lot more work yet to be done as well. And I'm glad that the president has done well, and Mitch McConnell in the Senate has been helpful to make sure those judges get through the nomination process and the confirmation process. But there's a lot more work to be done. There are still a lot of seats that are open right now. And so I know, in fact, there's a guy in my office, as a matter of fact, one of my colleagues has been waiting for his confirmation vote since he made it through the committee process. I think last December he was through that process. And all he's waiting for now is a vote by the U.S. Senate to put him on his seat in Amarillo. And I hope he'll be able to have that very soon. He'll be a great federal judge.
Well, I look at, you know, let me take the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals as an example. The president has put four justices on that court alone. I mean, that's going to have an impact. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, he's put five on. I mean, this has long-term ramifications as to how, because as you pointed out, oftentimes that's where the train stops for legal cases at the Circuit Court of Appeals, right? The Federal Circuit Courts of Appeals. And so when you look at the number of justices going on to certain courts, that is an important impact on those courts, is it not?
Oh, it absolutely is. You know, just a couple of years ago when I was in law school, you had the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, which covers that area out there in Virginia, D.C., Maryland, and West Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina. That was one of the most conservative circuits in the country. And today, it is completely the opposite. As a matter of fact, we have a case that has come out of the Fourth Circuit there involving a memorial that was built in 1925 to honor the men and women who died from Prince George's County, Maryland in World War One. It's in the shape of a cross. It stood there since 1925. One mother called it the gravestone for her sons that died in that war.
Right.
And that is now the Supreme Court of the United States because the Fourth Circuit has said that that monument violates the Constitution and needs to be bulldozed.
And clearly it does not violate the Constitution, the free exercise thereof. The free exercise clause. I mean, is in a clear reading of the Constitution, how does everybody miss that? That's what I don't understand, Jeremy.
That since it's on public property, it violates the Establishment Clause, as if that's some sort of establishment of religion by virtue of the fact that it happens to be a cross-shaped marker, just like the gravestone.
Now, that's not establishing a religion. That's not telling people where they need to go and how they need to worship and what they need to worship. But it's the free exercise clause, the free exercise thereof. That gets destroyed, or the freedom of speech, which would also be protective of that monument, in my estimation, right or wrong?
I think you're pretty right, and that's why we've asked the Supreme Court to review that case. You know, we represent the American Legion in that case, and I cannot imagine, as one judge suggested an argument at the Fourth Circuit, that the way to solve this issue is simply to remove the horizontal arms on this monument, you know, to deface the veterans' monument.
Right, to deface the veterans who fought and died as they saw fit. Jeremy, I got to leave it right there for today. Jeremy Dice, Esquire, Deputy General Counsel, First Liberty, and host of the First Liberty Briefing. Good discussion. We're going to keep an eye on all of these nominations and see how they play out, but they have great impact and impact of importance, as you just eloquently pointed out. Thank you.
Thank you.
There you have it. The road to Michigan's future is paved by hardworking construction workers. Man, you want to get involved with a booming economy, you need to be involved with MichiganConstruction.com. Go to SteveGruber.com. Click on the Michigan Construction banner. You can also find the sexiest job of the week banner if you want to find out what's going on. And man, that was a diesel mechanic this week. We do that every Tuesday here in the program. But go to SteveGruber.com, click on the Michigan Construction banners, and find out how you can get a new job, a new career, a new breath of life. It's the Steve Gruber Show on a Wednesday.